Joining us here in 2023 already, here he is, Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. I trust you had a terrific holiday and you're gearing up for the big session kicking off next week.
Yeah, next week. It's going to be a lively one. I'm getting ready to relocate over to Olympia, and then I come back and forth a lot on the weekend. So it's going to be a busy session. It's 105 days this year. We have all three budgets to approve, a lot of committee work. That's when it kind of all starts off. The first phase of each legislative session is mostly spent in committees.
Mm-hmm. And what should we expect in the coming days? Because, as you mentioned, it's 105 days. It's the long session as you kind of go back and forth from the shorter session to the long session. How does that differ?
Well, basically, we have most of the focus is on development of the budgets. Anytime we get together, there's always bills that can be adjusted or new laws that are proposed. But basically, a lot of the focus has been on the budget process. The governor has released some budget proposals, and most of the committee work will kind of take place early in the session. But then probably within a month or so into the session, you know, we're going to start looking to produce the three budget proposals. There's an operating budget, a transportation budget, and a capital budget. And both the House and the Senate are going to release proposals for each of those three budgets. And the governor has his proposals. And in the end, the House and the Senate and the governor all need to kind of agree on the exact same document for each of those budgets in order for the budgets to pass. We're going to be starting the session on January 9th. We're expected to end towards the end of April. And beginning July 1, the new fiscal biennium or two-year period begins. So, you know, we have, hopefully we'll approve the budget a month or two before the next period begins. And if all goes well, the timing should work out right.
All right. With record revenues coming to the state of Washington, thanks to the hardworking taxpayers, any chance the taxpayers may see some relief in any capacity?
I don't believe so. No. I think there was a chance that, you know, if the balance of power was a little bit different in Olympia, we could see some tax relief. My concern at this point will be additional tax increases. So as I mentioned, you know, the governor has proposed budget so far, and the House and Senate will be proposing theirs, but the governor proposed a $70 billion budget, 70, and 10 years ago, the state operating budget was $33 billion, and the budget that we're currently in for 2021 to the 2023 period, that was actually a staggering $64 billion figure. But here the governor has released a budget that goes from $64 billion to $70 billion. And he relies on the capital gains income tax, kind of assumes that that will go into effect, and banks the money from that, but also basically utilizes the full reserve in the state of Washington to get to the $70 billion expenditure amount. So, you know, I have some real concerns. Even if there weren't, you know, even if there are not new taxes approved this year, I have concerns with spending almost all of our state reserve account and building a budget so large to the edge. So, you know, that concerns me. The most recent revenue figure that was released in November brought the state revenues to approximately estimated to be $66 billion. So getting to a $70 billion expenditure amount, basically without any new taxes, is going to rely upon all of the reserves that we have. And I just don't think that's responsible.
Now, we've also heard over the last few months, and of course, we're already paying some of the highest gas prices in the country, new taxes to be imposed on folks coming up here in 2023.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting process. You know, typically there's been an actual sort of like gas tax that has been included in transportation packages where you actually, every time you pump a gallon of gas, you're going to see a certain number extra 10 cents or whatever added per gallon. But some of the recent policies that have been approved, both the Climate Commitment Act and what's called a low carbon fuel standard, that are set to go in place and be phased in over time in the state of Washington, that could have the effect of sort of increasing gasoline prices, because there is a sort of trying to build into this policy a disincentive to utilize fossil fuel products. And so while it's not per se an actual gas tax like you pay per gallon, it could have the effect of raising gas prices. And one of the challenges with gasoline prices is there are so many different factors nationwide and globally that factor into what you pay in a gallon of gas. And, you know, people don't really notice that so much, except they just know when their gas is, you know, costs them a lot. And obviously it ripples through the economy and people have to pay more for their groceries and everything else. Well, these two policies that were recently passed by the legislature over the past year or two could over time have, you know, the similar effect of increasing gasoline prices for people who are driving gas and diesel vehicles.
Now, we know you've been a big proponent of the hydrogen movement. We've got that plant being built over in East Wenatchee. Do you see that continuing to grow in terms of its popularity?
I do, and hydrogen is a great opportunity to kind of utilize some of the surplus hydropower that we have, and at some point in times during the year when the river's flowing high and water's coming, you know, the runoff from the snowmelt, and these hydropower plants along the Columbia, most of them on the mid-Columbia anyway, are considered run-of-river projects, so they don't really store a lot of water, but you know, if you have to spill that water down the river, you're essentially losing revenue. But if you can utilize that to generate a product like hydrogen, it's from a clean electricity source, and then hydrogen can be used for a lot of different purposes, industrial as well as clean fuel for vehicles. We could have hydrogen transit buses, school buses, semi trucks. It does seem like Tesla has a little bit of edge on the electric vehicle market, even though only 1% or 2% of Washington state drivers are driving electric vehicles. But hydrogen definitely does have a strong application, I believe, for semi-trucks. So, for example, the short hauls between the apple orchards and the packing plants, you could refuel on hydrogen. And then also, if you have a hydrogen fueling station in Wenatchee, and then also one, say, at the Port of Seattle or Port of Tacoma, you could haul the world's best apples from Wenatchee all the way to the ports and refuel at the ports and come right back with a hydrogen semi-truck. So I think it does show some promise, but, you know, the infrastructure is going to need to be built out too, and that's one of the challenges, frankly, with electric vehicles. If we scale up from 1% to 10% to 30% to 50 to 80% of the drivers someday, theoretically, there's going to be a lot more of a need for back-end infrastructure, transmission lines, substations, distribution lines, transformers, all those things. And that is costly, and we do need to sort of acknowledge that as part of this process.
And as you go ahead and gear up for the session next week, what other projects are you going to be working on?
Well, I'm kind of trying to get my feet kind of settled down on the committee work that's going to begin really soon. I'm serving on three committees for the upcoming session. Two of the committees are the same committees I've served on over the past several years. So the Education Committee, which handles early learning and K-12 education. I'm going to be returning as the ranking Republican member on the Education Committee. We have a lot of work across the state of Washington to catch up on in our K-12 system with the COVID learning loss and all that's transpired. You know, we probably need to look at updating the funding model for our schools. So there's a lot of work that I have in front of me on the Education Committee. Also, the Transportation Committee, I'll be returning there. We're likely going to approve approximately $12 billion budget for the next 2 years. the transportation budget will come through the Transportation Committee. It will fund continuing opportunities for agencies, grant programs, road projects. Preservation and maintenance of our current system is very important. I know everybody wants to look at building a new project, but we really need to maintain our current system. Last legislative session, the state approved a 16-year, nearly $17 billion transportation investment plan, and some work really needs to continue to make sure that program and that plan is all sorted out and works out for the next 16 years. So we got a lot of work ahead on those two committees. And then I'm adding this year the Higher Education Committee to my mix. So, you know, getting students in the K-12 system prepared for post-secondary opportunities, whether it's a two-year college, four-year college, or a trade or military, or kind of getting them ready for the workforce. We have a lot of needs with keeping tuition manageable. We have a new Wenatchee Valley College incoming president, a famous Harrison, that I look forward to getting to know. So between my Education Committee, Transportation Committee, and Higher Education Committee responsibilities, I think the first several weeks in the session are kind of going to keep me really busy.
Mm-hmm. And you don't expect any big surprises. It'll be just pretty much the work of the people.
Yeah, I do. I guess one thing I'm hoping for, Jeff, is continued bipartisanship. I mean, most of all the things I've worked on have been bipartisan. A lot of the things we do in Olympia is not controversial and bipartisan. But I think when it comes to some of these major policies and the budgets, given the spread of, you know, frankly, the lack of balance of power that's going to exist over the next 2 years, and the governor's aggressive efforts at some of the continuations of his policies and his budget spending, I am a little bit concerned that we just don't really have the votes to counter some of the proposals, and it may just be like you asked. I mean, no surprises, but in some ways, a continuation of some of the policies that I think concern us. You know, especially with the budget spending to the edge. And if the national economy kind of flattens out or turns down, we're going to have less revenue over the next 2, 4, 8 years in the state of Washington. And then we built a budget that's really large. And, you know, it's hard to unwind and reel some of that stuff in once it gets approved. So I do have some concerns about the long-term future of the state of Washington. And I hope we can get some reasonable policies and budgets approved this session.
Well, we'll certainly look forward to your reports each week as we move through this session again, kicking off 1 week from today. Any final thoughts you'd like to share, Senator Hawkins?
Well, yeah, I look forward to, you know, the first report 1 week from today in the middle of the session's first week, and then each week at the same time to connect with your listeners up in Chelan and Manson. So I really appreciate it. If people have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on my website, which is senatorbradhawkins.org. They can track bills. They can follow my email newsletters. They could subscribe to those, monitor my news releases, and all sorts of things. If people have any questions, though, my office exists to serve you. So if your listeners have any questions, contact us, and we'll help get your answers.
All right. Senator Brad Hawkins, thank you for joining us, and safe travels to Olympia. We'll look forward to chatting next week.
Thank you, Jeff. I look forward to it as well.
All right. Be well now. Again, State Senator Brad Hawkins joining us this morning for a Community Connection.